B-Pod Studios.
Level of play that we've seen him at before the injuries took place, then yes, you will be a competitor. You will be a top-notch team in the entire NFC. You will be a conference contender, a Super Bowl contender. If it's not that same guy, if it's the same guy that we saw last year play, who, yeah, the numbers looked pretty comparable, but the offense just didn't look the same, then they're going to struggle yet again. It's all going to come down to Carson Wentz and whether or not Nolan, not only can he be healthy, but can he be mentally prepared to attack this game? He admitted last year, I asked him about it. I asked him about the knee brace. Could you be 100% without thinking about that knee brace? And he said no. It was definitely a constant reminder that it was right there at all times. And then, side note, he broke his back.
No, I just feel like the big important thing, like due to the fact that Trey Thomas in the studio, is if you can protect him. I mean, it's like just protecting him and giving him a chance just to survey the field. And I think he'd be like a pretty good pocket passer. I know the word against him is that he can't throw from the pocket. Mm-hmm. But if you can protect him with the weapons that we got, I feel fairly good about our chances going forward.
Yeah, I agree. I think the protection definitely needs to be one of the main things that's addressed this year during the offseason. Because, I mean, when you look at that three-game stretch when he came back sacked, his first three or four games, sacked 13 times, I think, hit over 30-something times. So that's something that needs to definitely be corrected. But also, too, one of the things that Carson can do to help himself is get rid of the ball a little bit quicker, because you do have a lot of weapons out there. So survey the field, make your reads, and let that ball go.
I definitely agree with you. And now, Trey, now, how many wins do you see us getting?
You know what? I always say we can go undefeated. But, I can see that 12 to 13 range, but really, like, you know, New England's going to be a battle, but you never know where they're going to be. Chicago, you know.
You never know what you're going to get from Atlanta. Going to Atlanta.
Minnesota, Green Bay, tough. You're not sure what's how Aaron Rodgers, even if they address their offensive line needs, because that's one of the problems with Aaron Rodgers. He's a talented quarterback, but his offensive line gets him destroyed. So, you know, man, I see us going by two. You know, I can see four.
This is live thinking, Rashid. He's breaking it down right now. And right now, Trey Thomas is going to give you the exact number.
And then you know Seattle's going to be, it's going to be, Russell Wilson.
Man got paid. He doesn't care about football anymore.
All right. I don't know. So, that's going to be a challenge. I see us doing 13, 14 games.
Yeah, I can see that, too. Thank you, guys, again. Enjoy the rest of your show, guys.
Rashid, my man, always good talking to you, my friend. I do have to tell people they're listening to 97.5 The Fanatic, WPN Burlington, Philadelphia, broadcasting from the Xfinity Studio only from Comcast. And right now, the 9 o'clock hour, per usual, brought to you by The Bagster. Dumpster in a bag. Get yours today at Home Depot and Lowe's. For details, go to thebagster.com. Let's get into some of the storylines regarding today. We just talked about the defense a little bit ago, that we want to see this blanketing defense again, right, Bobby? We want to see that tight coverage, as they would say in football, being able to get through those screens and whatnot.
Yeah, I think that was such a key to their energy level the other night. Like I remember watching about first 4 or 5 minutes in the game, and the intensity was so at such a higher level than it was on Sunday that I was wondering, like, oh my God, are these guys going to get tired? I mean, Ben Simmons and J.J. Redick, the amount of movement they did defensively to open that game, I really think it took everyone's energy on the floor to a bigger level. And I think that's going to be key tonight. I want to see them come out tonight. Like I said earlier, if they have above and if they match Brooklyn energy level wise, they win this series easy. If they go above the Nets, forget about it. You're going to get 51 point quarters again.
So we saw a major shift defensively with the way they were handling the screen game.
Right.
We saw a major shift, I thought, in Joel Embiid's game. Not one attempted three-pointer.
And he had about three or four opening, wide open ones.
And he went with the pump fake, or he just got the ball, took a dribble, thought about it, and then drove. And then got to the paint. That was a major shift. The other thing was Ben Simmons' overall game. Mm-hmm. Jimmy Butler setting up guys, 7 assists in this game. He took it to heart that he didn't have any in game one. Came out, set up his own teammates, only had 7 points, though, for himself. But Ben Simmons overall, I feel, was the biggest change in the game. Both defensively, with the way, Jamie, he was D'ing up D'Angelo Russell.
I thought that was the key to the whole game.
Game changer right there for him. And then offensively, attack.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Attack the rim. It's been going around social media, memes of Bran from Game of Thrones and Jamie Lannister seeing each other for the first time in 10 years. And it's like an aggressive Ben Simmons is Bran, and Jamie Lannister is like the rest of the NBA. Like, that's when aggressive Ben Simmons is playing the game. How are you going to stop that, Trey?
Who's Bran?
He's from Game of Thrones.
He's the weird one in Game of Thrones.
He's the weird one in a wheelchair.
Yeah, okay. Real weird.
Remember at the end of the first episode?
He's the three-eyed raven now.
Remember the first episode of this season?
Yeah.
And the first episode you've ever watched?
Yeah.
Which is remarkable.
Yeah, that's why.
You just jumped in at the end?
Yeah.
The very end of the episode, there's Bran and there's Jamie Lannister.
Yeah. Yeah, I get it now. You know,
Jamie Lannister's the one that put him in that wheelchair.
Oh, okay.
So it was it was the first time they'd seen each other since. So that's why it was awkward.
Okay.
See, what happened was Jamie was having sex with his. All right, anyway, so
his sister.
And then Bran walked in and he's like, "Hey, Miss Cousy," and then they pushed him out a window.
That could be a problem.
Yeah.
Typically, incest is not something you want out there about yourself.
And Bran is Ben Simmons in this scenario. Bran is Ben Simmons.
He sees all.
Jamie Lannister right now.
He knows where the Nightwalkers are.
Bob, this is all basketball terminology. You don't need to worry about this. But anyway, Bran is Ben Simmons, and Jamie Lannister is at least the Brooklyn Nets right now. 6'10" point guard that wants to get to the rim. Bob, where's he going? He's going to the rim.
He's going to the rim whenever he wants. Yeah, that's the key tonight. And also, if you watch the first game, there was five or six times where Embiid and Boban literally ran into the lane and just like kind of body thumped whoever was trying to guard them on Brooklyn. Basically saying, no, I'm establishing this. I want to see that again tonight. I want to see the Sixers kill them from inside 15 feet again tonight.
That's how they will win this game. Now, this is why Game 3 of this series, I thoroughly believe, will be the decisive game of this series.
Absolutely.
Tonight. Because the Brooklyn Nets are back at home. They got a lot to play for other than just a win.
They're talking a lot of smack, too.
They're playing for pride.
I think, off the top of my head, I don't have the number hard in front of me. I believe it's around 78% of teams that win Game 3 in a 1-1 series go on to move and win the series. All so right. To say this is critical tonight, yeah, it's pretty critical.
Okay. Right. That was a number that supported my theory, so I'll say it's 100%
absolutely.
Accurate.
Yeah.
So they have a lot to play for.
Absolutely.
Aside from the obvious, the playoff and all that fun stuff, aside from all that, they really got to get after it tonight. So the Sixers are going to take their best shot tonight, and they're going to brush it off. It's not going to be a blowout. The Sixers are going to win this game by 8 points tonight. And most of that will come because of fouling towards the end of the game. JoJo go to the line, bada-boop, bada-beep. They're making the foul shots. 8 points, they win the game. No problem. But here's the deal. As the game goes on tonight, the storylines will come more and more into effect. Because imagine if this happened in Philadelphia. Just imagine for a second this happened in Philly. Imagine our guy is Jarrett Allen. And he gets an elbow to the mouth by Joel Embiid. Right? Imagine that happens. And then in the press conference, like, first off, we already see that in the game. As fans, we're already riled up. We're like, oh, that jerk, how does he do that? And then
sportsmanship.
And then... In the game, or after the game, at the press conference, Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons are at the podium, and Joel Embiid gets asked about elbowing Jarrett Allen in the face, and this is how he chooses to respond.
Obviously, it wasn't intentional, and I got him pretty good, and I'm sorry about it, but... Okay. I'm sorry about it. It wasn't intentional, but it's just me trying to be aggressive. I'm not usually humble. That's why he's laughing. But, I was just trying to be aggressive.
Uh-huh. Anybody buying that?
No. I would say no.
Yeah, that's a big fat no.
Mm-hmm. I would say no.
Ben Simmons laughing first. He was laughing. Joel Embiid tried to say it because he was being humble. And Ben Simmons isn't used to hearing Joel Embiid be humble, but why he was really laughing is because he knew it was disingenuous. And then they start laughing together, which makes you feel good as a Sixers fan that they like each other so much.
Yeah.
But if you're a Nets fan in this, or a member of the Nets, yeah, you're pretty pissed off at that.
Yeah.
And imagine, again, the roles are reversed, and that happened to our guy, mm-hmm. and the other team was laughing at us or our guy after elbowing him in the face. We're up in arms. Imagine how the Nets feel. The Nets are going to be on edge in this game, not just because they don't want to go down 2-1 in the series and be down 2-1 at home. They just have a lot to play for. They have that edge to them. If we can talk about the Sixers getting an edge or a kick in the butt because of them getting booed by the hometown fans and Ben Simmons feeling like he needs something to prove, well, then why can't the Nets also have that same type of motivation? something off the court to influence how they play on the court.
Yeah, I don't think that's, you know, but theirs is our booing was booing more on their production of what they were putting out as far as the game. I mean, them using elbow to their player's face to like, all right, yay, we got to get out here and go whoop these guys. Eh, I don't know, that's a little different.
All right, well, so here's the deal. I think that surprises me to hear you say that. Mm-hmm. And it surprises me because I would expect a player to get more motivation out of his teammate being elbowed in the face than a hometown crowd booing me.
I think the hometown crowd booing you, though, is more on your performance, your energy level, especially when you go back and you say, okay, you know, what was the booing for?
Okay.
Why were the fans booing you? That's where it's like, you know what, we need to check ourselves. We need to get our game up to par so that our fans don't boo us. I mean, you know, nobody wants to feel that, you know, but now if something happens within the game where, you know, your guy gets elbowed, all right, yeah, you want to try to, hey, let's go and, you know, we got your back. There's going to be some retaliation to that.
Sure.
But, you know, to say that, okay, we're going to win this game because of the elbow that you got.
If they cheap shot the knee or back, I'm driving up to Brooklyn and fighting somebody.
Oh, if that happens, this is Anchorman.
Mike Scott, get in the game. Go take somebody's head off.
This is, again, I'm telling you, I'm not fighting Prison Mike. Mike is the crazy guy you don't mess with. Like, I'll fight anybody else on this team. The last person I'm fighting is Mike Scott. But here's the deal with all that. I was thinking about this. It's going to be like the Anchorman news team battle, if that's what happens. But Brooklyn is like a PBS news team, public news, and the Sixers are like a team of all Brick Tamlins with just a grenade. Like, yeah, come mess with me. But that's how I see it happen. Anyway, so that'll be the motivation.
Bob didn't get that reference.
That's fine.
No.
But he had nothing on the Game of Thrones thing. Oh, we didn't get your Kendall report, by the way, Bob. You were tracking the internet yesterday, I heard.
My Kendall
report? Yeah, I was listening to the 5 o'clock hour, and you were talking all about Kendall Jenner and the supposed breakup. We'll get there. But here you go. So you just heard Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons laughing at the elbow. And again, imagine that happening here in Philadelphia. Put it this way. If that happened here, we'd be up in arms. So here's Caris LeVert when he was asked about them laughing in the press conference. Here's Caris LeVert yesterday when talking about Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid's little chuckle fest.
Yeah, we didn't really like that. We thought that was kind of disrespectful, especially after the elbow he threw. But I mean, it is what it is. You know, there's no love lost. You know, it's a playoff series. We expect that.
The disrespect card is now what he's playing, Bob. Trey, I know it gets said all the time in football. You don't hear it as much in basketball.
No,
but it's definitely there.
So sorry. What was the disrespectful part?
The elbowing and then laughing about it.
Yeah. Oh, the laughing about it was disrespectful, but the elbow to the face was
part of the game.
Part of the game. All right.
Well, he didn't throw an elbow.
Right.
Technically, I mean, you know, you could throwing an elbow is malicious intent,
giving the flipper,
aiming and all that. His elbows were in a set position holding the ball, and he just turned, and there was a face in the way. So that's how I saw it. I mean, I think the flagrant one was fine.
I agree.
I don't think Embiid minded hitting him, but I really don't think he was aiming for his. I mean, unless he has eyes in the back of his head, he didn't know exactly where he was.
He did not know exactly where his face was. I 100% agree.
Yeah.
So they're now using the disrespect card. Well, how about this? Jared Dudley, and can you think of a less significant net? Like, a guy that, like, plays enough to where you can mention his name, but doesn't have the impact that a D'Angelo Russell would have, for instance, right? Jared Dudley, Mr. YMCA himself.
Yeah, he epitomizes average.
Very much so.
Okay.
And, 12 years in the NBA now, I think he's already at. But Jared Dudley has something to say about Ben Simmons' game. And I'll get into this for you. Yesterday, it's called Ben Simmons a great player in transition, but once you get him into a half court, he's average. Now, I'll say this in fairness. I think we've made that point on the show, especially if Ben isn't going down to the blocks to play more of the power forward role.
I still find average disrespectful.
Oh, it is.
Because, yeah, no denying he doesn't have a jump shot, and no denying there's a way to counter defend him. But there's still about four or five things he does pretty exceptional in a half-court set. Like, I think that's very disrespectful.
Mm-hmm.
And it's...
But is it far off?
It's not that far off, but it's not true.
I think he's
like Jared Dudley is literally the definition of NBA average.
100%. But I'll say
Ben Simmons is not that.
I will say this. Ben Simmons is an all-star in transition. I will say he's a good player in a half court.
I'm not calling him a generational talent. I'm not calling him a dominant half court set guy.
Of course not.
But he's not average.
But once he gets, and this proves it, once he gets the ball, does he get double teamed in the half court? A lot. If he's going down low and he has the ball and he's backing down, he gets doubled a lot. You don't double average.
No, but if he's outside the perimeter, I don't see him doubling too much.
God, no. You don't double him there.
But when you have a 6'10 guy,
there are parts of his game that you double him in a half court, so that doesn't reek of average.
But guess what?
Maybe it gets balanced out. You don't have to cover him from 10 feet out either.
Is there a quarter court, or do you just call that the block? I have never heard quarter court, but if I'm going half court, if we're going, transition to half court, quarter court?
Yeah.
No, in all seriousness.
And when he's double teamed, guess what? He's an exceptional passer.
Yes.
Not average passer.
But again.
Exceptional passer.
But with his force, with his strength that he can, hand out when he's down low, you got to double team that.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it's 2 points. It's an automatic 2 points.
So is that average?
No, but he's talking about the perimeter game. He's talking about when he's a point guard top of the key.
There's a lot that goes into a half court set.
Sure. Sure.
I just think for a guy that is literally the definition of average, to call Ben Simmons average in a half court set is very disrespectful.
Uh-huh.
Because I don't think he's average. He's not great, but he's not average.
Right, but he goes from all-star to, I think, good.
Yeah, okay, I'll give you that.
Okay.
But that's not average.
Right, I agree. I still say better than average. Above
as
that.
Long as we get there. I'm not saying he's right. Michael Jordan.
He sucks. I'll just say it. No, okay, totally kidding. But here's the thing: if you're Jared Dudley, right, and you want to have this argument,
the definition of average,
right? If you want to have that argument, do you really want to throw that in the face of Ben Simmons going into this game?
Not particularly.
After he just played pissed off against you in Game Two.
Well, Dudley was out of Game Two, and we'll see what happens. It's going to be interesting because Dudley's going to guard him a lot.
Yeah.
And if I'm Ben, I'm personally triggered.
Dudley had an 8 o'clock tip-off at the Y, and he couldn't make the NBA game, unfortunately.
Hey, those 145th Street Y games up in the Bronx, those are real deal games, all right, Mark?
Pretty much. 610-632-0975. Coming up, we'll let you hear from Ben Simmons about two things that happened around this game. One was his comments about Brett Brown in the locker room at halftime, kind of revving the team up a little bit. It was great to hear from a leader like Ben Simmons, a team leader like Ben Simmons, talk about his coach this way. And then the other part of it was the way he chose to address the story that came out yesterday with Chris Sheridan. The story that basically attacked Ben Simmons' character, that he would miss a game because he was out partying the night before.
Streaking down Church Street.
Now, Bob Cooney has some interesting stuff on that. So we'll get to that later in this hour. About the unfortunate negative things that surrounded this story yesterday with the 76ers and what went into their storyline for this this playoff run as well. But right now, ladies and gentlemen, we were teased earlier. We thought we were going to have some, closure. We thought we were going to have something explained to us. We were going to be enlightened. If you will,
some would say that. I would say the opposite, but to each their own.
It's only a tease, and this is why we need to talk to right now, Inge in KOP. Inge, what happened last time, man?
No, I'm sorry, Paul. I have to take care of some.
Apology accepted.
Look, let me enlighten you guys here.
As per usual,
make any sense? Look, if you're a Sixers fan,
yes,
and you want this team to go beyond the first, second round and try to compete for something, a championship. You want them to lose tonight because the problem with the Sixers is this. They don't have enough mental toughness. So the fourth game, if they lose tonight, to be in a hostile environment knowing that it's a must win, and coming through, if they don't win the game four, and then they don't deserve to get out of the first round. But if they do win that fourth game, game four, it will make them stronger for the long term. So I don't know if you understand what I'm trying to say.
Not even a little bit.
I think you're making beautiful points, Singy.
Yeah, it is imperative because at this level of development for this team, they're not the 90s Bulls or even the Warriors, even though they blew that lead. They must experience as many tough, mentally tough games as possible. So if they lose tonight, I'm rooting for them to lose tonight because I want to see them come back. Game four. I understand they came back in game two, but on the road,
I just puked.
On the road,
no
environment,
sense.
They need that experience in the second, third, or whatever round.
Inge, you know what? It's crazy that you say this. because I talked to a source with the 76ers yesterday after practice, and they said they told me, and I wasn't going to say it because, you know, we're the flagship of the station, the Sixers, they're going to intentionally lose tonight. So that they have that extra added.
No, Inge, you're onto something,
Inge.
Because they have to get mentally tough.
I talked to my sources.
That only happens if you lose.
And my sources said they're going to take it. They're going to mail it in.
No, but you understand my point.
I don't know how much more clearly we can say that. We do not understand your point.
Look at it last year. They beat Miami in 5 games.
They should have lost. They should have taken that to 7. It would have helped them.
Inge, I have ironclad sources. You're right.
Now look, I understand it's too deep for you guys, but you got to think about it.
Inge, thanks, buddy.
Yeah,
too deep for you guys.
Guess what? That time to grow and learn how to close out games, that happens during the regular season.
Yeah.
And guess what? They were number one in the NBA in games decided by fewer than 5 points.
No.
So they've had plenty of practice at that.
You don't learn lessons by losing. A mental lesson by losing. It's going to help them in the next round. If you're losing games and it helps you mentally, you ain't getting to the second round.
You know what it is? It's the people that...
I don't even argue what he says.
You know what? It gets brought up. But it gets brought up a lot in football. If you have a real, if you have a team that's red hot.
Yeah, like they're 9-0. Oh, I don't mind that they lost that 10th game.
Or, you know, just a team that's like, you know, 9-3, whatever. And they're just red hot and they haven't lost a game. They've just won 6 or 7 in a row, whatever. And it gets closer and closer to the end of the season and they haven't lost yet. So, you know what? I want them to lose one game. So that doesn't, you know, so because it's easier to win, whatever, 4 games in a row, 6 games in a row than it is to win, whatever it might be, 12 games in a row. Mm-hmm. Like, the philosophy's stupid.
Yeah.
One does not have anything to do with the other. You lose because you lost. That happened. No one's hoping that they lose to help their odds on another day.
And the mental toughness that they needed from a loss already came in game one, and so just ride that
out. But here's where I agree with Inge. Here's where I think he was talking over all you guys' heads. This is what he's saying. Failure is a great teacher.
Mm.
Confucius, Inge?
That was... You know, the simultaneous, yeah, it's great. That's what I heard. When I heard the simultaneous,
you're making a mockery of it. That's what I heard.
Oh, is that what I was doing?
Yeah.
I didn't think I was laying it on thick enough. 610-632-0. But this is a little bit. 610-632-0975. Coming up, we will revisit the Phillies and all the great things that happened in yesterday's game, so we'll get into that. We also have a couple of acknowledgments that we didn't get into yesterday, and it was a hot story yesterday. We will get into that again, and we'll let you hear the other hot story from yesterday, which is just appalling. The Chris Sheridan story from New York Daily News. We had reached out. Jamie, go ahead and tell me one more time. What was the last communication we had?
The editor. He was waiting on his editor's approval to join us on air. We never got a circle back.
But yeah, I was tweeting with this guy yesterday.
With Chris?
With Chris.
Yes, he was.
Because I believe in fair and balanced journalism. I believe that I'm, as a minor in journalism...
We owe him the platform to defend it.
Well, not only that, but also people were calling him cowardice for not coming on with us,
basically.
Yeah,
no, it's not that either.
Yeah, so I wanted to just make sure people knew the story and give it from a credible source. Obviously, as a person, as all of us here, we're hosts on this show. I wanted to make sure that I responded to that and said, no, we reached out, we've had communication. He's waiting for approval, basically. We're trying to work out a time we can get him on the air. And Chris quote tweeted me a couple times.
Hmm.
And he was like, look, someone whose blood's not boiling in Philly. And I'm like, oh, have I given the wrong impression? Don't mistake kindness for weakness, my friend. But unfortunately, as you just heard from Jamie Lynch, still no word.
Crickets.
Now, I do find it extremely interesting, that his follow-up story that came out later in the day was not for the same publication, Trey Thomas. Mm. It was not for the New York Daily News. It was for Heavy.com.
Interesting.
Very. So we'll dissect that coming up in a few. We got Matt in Bethlehem. Let's talk some Sixers with us. We got open lines after that. 610-632-0975. Time of the Fanatic, 923. I do want to give a shout out because we didn't do this yesterday. It's
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
100% my fault. I took full responsibility. I got to do a better place of putting this subject in a better spot on the show.
I goofed.
How about those New York Islanders, baby?
Yeah.
Sweeping them Pittsburgh Penguins on out of the playoffs.
Good on you.
Deuces.
See what happens when you bring a real coach in?
Go figure. Go figure.
And they lost their centerpiece in John Tavares.
Do you like Alain Vigneault?
There's two billboards up in town.
I know. You know, yesterday I went around.
I think he's going to like it here.
Apparently he's got a nickname of AV.
AV? And that's
like,
a lot easier.
I'm like, oh, hey, the AV Club. How about that? Yeah, it's lame. But anyway, I went to...
By the way, on another hockey note,
yes.
That Bobrovsky fellow is pretty good.
That was my second shout-out in the hockey world. I have two stars of the day, basically.
Yeah.
Tampa Bay Lightning, best record in hockey, tied the most wins, ever 62 wins in a season. They play 82 games a year, and they won 62.
If you had parlayed the Blue Jackets and... I'm brain farting. New York Islanders together.
Uh-huh.
That's something sweeter than Yoohoo right there.
Are you making out like the guy that made $1.19 million that bet on Tiger Woods, who turned out to be like a scumbag?
Yeah, he was like apparently $30,000 in debt and like took out money to make that bet, and he's never bet before.
Well, yeah, but apparently he's got like a criminal record.
Oh, does he?
Yeah.
Oh, lovely.
Now, Google that for me real quick while I tell this other story. Right. I'm sorry to ask you to do that, but I want to make sure I have this right. But so Tampa Bay gets swept out of the playoffs by Sergei Bobrovsky in net. Him and the Columbus Blue Jackets took care of business. John Tortorella leading that club to their first ever playoff series victory. And it was a sweep against the number one team in the NHL.
That's the fourth most points ever accumulated during a regular season. I believe it was 128.
Shout out to them. That was absolutely incredible. Now, we're going to get into the good and the bad. Now, I don't want to call it ugly, but the good and the bad of Ben Simmons. And one was acknowledging his coach. The other was about the story from Chris Sheridan that we were talking about a lot yesterday. It got a lot of run yesterday. Sixers players were asked about it themselves, including Brett Brown, who said he had seen the story. He had not read it. He was aware of it, but he had not read the story yet. Turns out the vast majority of it, as it looks and as we suspected, to be complete and utter BS. Talk about that in a second. Matt in Bethlehem, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Matt?
Nothing much, guys. I just want to know. So Embiid, seems like guys love him here, but I mean, sooner or later, someone's going to give him a smack in the face, and then is that going to be like, oh, my God, he got smacked? Because, I mean, he's been throwing elbows and cheap-shotting people. He's like a bigger, better Lambert.
Whoa. That's a little bit of a reach, isn't it, Matt?
Yeah.
What else has he done?
Oh, come on. How about the thing on Marcus Smart? I think Marcus Smart would have tore his head off if they got out of the way, to be honest.
Hold on, Matt.
Marcus Smart, he was going up for a ball that Smart went after. What did he do to him?
He elbowed him in the lane.
Oh, it was a pick. Oh, my God, it was a pick.
He got up and pushed him in the back.
Yeah, that was cheap. Pushed him in the back. That's like shooting somebody in the back.
Matt, can you say Marcus Smart like 10 more times?
Yeah, that's cool.
Wicked smart. How's that graphic?
I'll take one wicked smart for 10 Marcus Smart. So, anyway, but in all seriousness, Matt, if he didn't play here, I admit to you wholeheartedly, if he didn't play here, I would hate the guy. Because he basically, he was shoving people the other day. I mean, you want to talk about a cheap shot. I honestly don't think he was throwing an elbow intentionally at Jarrett Allen. I don't think he meant to clock him in the mouth. I think he meant to make an aggressive move, and if somebody got in the way, so be it.
Yes, he did.
So Trey still thinks so. But he had that thing with Marcus Smart was intentional, where he tried to get under his skin. He picked the right opponent because Marcus Smart couldn't keep his head on him, and he was able to turn the tides of the game because of that one play. Now, there was another play where he literally shoved, who was it? It was Dudley. Jared Dudley. Yep. He literally shoved him to the ground. That was stupid. If he was playing anywhere else, that's stupid. The play with Eric Bledsoe. He tossed the basketball at him, got Eric Bledsoe to throw the basketball back in his face. Melee ensued. Eric Bledsoe, see ya. This guy, I see what you're saying in the Bill Laimbeer category, but this guy has Hall of Fame talent, Joel Embiid.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm not comparing the talent level, but the instigation ability. I hated Laimbeer. That's what I'm saying.
Well, you said Joel Embiid was a little bit better version of Bill Laimbeer.
Oh, no. I said much more talented, bigger. I said bigger and much more talented, but the whole instigation thing. So eventually, someone's going to walk up and smack him. And I'll bet you Joel's never been in a fight in his life because he's so big, no one's ever done it. Someone's going to smack him in the face.
Well,
and, you know, I hope y'all don't hate that person because he's got it coming.
Well, let's not forget that Joel Embiid, thanks for the call, killed a lion when he was like 6 years old.
Yeah, with his bare hands.
With his bare hands.
Yeah. By the way, you were correct on the Tiger Woods gambler. He
what was the story with him?
Online court records indicate the 39-year-old Aducci has had multiple run-ins with the law in Wisconsin dating back to 2005. None of his offenses were felonies, but his record includes 4 disorderly conduct convictions with domestic abuse sentence modifiers in La Crosse County, Washington, Wisconsin.
That's not good for anybody. No, but I was like...
He was also convicted of a second offense operating a prohibited alcohol content.
So what now?
Sounds like he's a bootlegger.
Oh. A redeeming quality.
Which is how NASCAR started.
Now you respect him.
Wait. So he was making...
I don't know, something without a license. Second offense, operating with a prohibited alcohol content. Mm. Sounds like he was making some grain.
That's what it sounds like. But yeah, I remember we talked about the story on Monday, and the kicker of the story was that it was the first bet he ever made.
Yeah, and he took out withdrawal to make it because he was in debt. And he took it out of a failed stock. He's like a day trader. And there was some kind of, you know, how you can capitalize on failed stocks and basically profit off of their demise.
Yeah.
I think he took the money from one of those accounts to make the bet.
Yeah, what a scumbag.
I wish him the worst.
But grain uncle? No. that was just an insane story. Now, the other thing here was the story that we talked about at length yesterday regarding Chris Sheridan. Now, again, we had reached out to him to come on. He had gotten back to us. We were trying to set it up. The last we heard was that he was waiting for approval from his editors. I don't know what has happened in that regard. All I know is the follow-up story that he printed yesterday to his story from 2 days ago was on heavy.com, not the New York Daily News.
Yeah.
Which is a thing, which you would think if your editors were proud of what you did, they'd want you to keep fanning that flame and have you write something else.
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't the case. Now, I have heard from a source that Chris Sheridan, he said to other people, I believe that he reached out to the 76ers for comments about the story, wasn't until after publication. So basically, if he was reaching out to the 76ers, he wasn't reaching out for the original story like he should have done more so.
Exactly.
He was doing it only for his follow-up piece. And his follow-up piece on heavy.com was written... A lot of it about Dave Schaller, who is the director of communications for the 76ers, basically their PR man extraordinaire, who ripped apart Chris Sheridan's article on Twitter.
And responded. Sheridan's point, more or less, was, you're nanny-nanny boo-boo, you're irritated, so I'm right.
Exactly. That was his whole point.
Yeah. Now, which is ridiculous.
Dave Schaller, we read the comment for you. Do I still have it here in my notes? We read what Dave Schaller had to say, which was, this was a response to the tweet of the story from Chris Sheridan, saying this is one of the most irresponsible hack jobs I've ever seen in more than a decade of working in sports. Factual inaccuracies, made up stories, references to conversations that never happened. This is a steaming pile of trash. Steaming, period, pile, period. So Chris Sheridan quoted that tweet, put it in his story, and then tried to rip Dave Schaller apart. Bad move, because I haven't heard anything now from Chris Sheridan. We haven't heard from him. He quoted a couple of my tweets. I responded to a couple of his from yesterday. But that's it. As far as I know, we were setting up a time. Then we just hear that he's trying now to get approval from his editors. I don't know what the story is. Hopefully, we'll get it from him. But long story short,
I don't think we'll be hearing from Chris in Philadelphia.
I kind of agree with you on that one.
Yeah.
Very interesting. Yeah, he was very brazen yesterday to address tweets.
Yeah.
I give him credit for that.
Right. But he's got the bad boy of sports journalism on his tail.
Yes, he does. And quite frankly, and honestly, and your integrity, and what other words?
Furthermore.
Yeah. A lot of furthermores.
Now, there was only one furthermore. What was the other? What else was it?
I don't know.
But
the furthermore.
Tag trying to game got dropped a couple times.
Well, when I think of integrity, I think of Bob Cooney, because a story in this piece by Chris Sheridan talked about Ben Simmons in Orlando missing a game because of the quote-unquote stomach virus when he was probably out partying the night before. But you talked to Keith Pompey, Bob, who was on the scene, and what did Keith Pompey tell you?
Yeah, so Keith said...
the Philadelphia Inquirer,
right. So the Sixers played Saturday night in Atlanta. Normally, you would fly out after the game and go to your next city, which was a game on Monday in Orlando. Instead, the team stayed in Atlanta that night. Flew to Orlando on Sunday, played Monday. Well, Monday morning, you have a shoot-around of the game. Ben Simmons was there. Everything was fine. I called Keith this morning. He said I talked to him. Everything was good. Mm-hmm. You know, nothing. The reporters all talked to him. Nothing led them to believe he wasn't going to play. It's when they got to the arena that night that Brett came out and said he got the stomach virus today and he's not playing.
Interesting. Bob Cooney.
Yeah.
Now, that was one of the stories.
I don't... you guys were here. We were on air when I texted, took the call, made the call, got the call, asked the question, came back in here. It took me all of about a minute, 20 seconds. Why couldn't Chris Sheridan have done that?
That I don't know.
Yeah.
That I don't
just
know.
Just wondering.
Because his source wanted to further his agenda. And he felt like he could trust his source.
You never write a story off of one source giving you something, off of a source giving you something, without going to the subject of the source.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
Go figure.
Yeah.
So bad boy journalism.
Bad boy of South Jersey girls soccer.
Irresponsible. And that's what it was.
Irresponsible, yeah.
And bad boy of journalism. You know, he's like the Cape Crusader of journalism, is
that's
what Bob Cooney
right.
is.
That's what he is.
He's not a bad boy.
That's right.
He's there for the peace, peace, justice,
that's
in the
right.
American way.
Yeah, Bob, there you go, baby. That's your theme song.
That's all right. All right. That's my walk-up music.
Yeah, there you go.
Did you play this every time he went to tee off?
Yeah, well,
should have.
That's bad boy right there, Bob.
Bob's friend that joined the foursome. Bob, is this what you walk up to? Yeah, man.
That's how I walk up to.
All right, that's right. Write an article. Write an article and you don't have all your sources correct.
To paraphrase, Ben Simmons lauded his head coach, who apparently had lost the team, quote-unquote, for really motivating the team at halftime. But then Ben Simmons was asked about that day in March where he supposedly missed the game because he was partying, quote-unquote, the night before. Sorry, trying to rush. The night before, apparently, that Orlando game, he was out partying and missed the game. But here he is with that question.
Ben, there was a story today in the New York Daily News that said you missed the Orlando game because you were out partying. And you haven't commented on it. I just wanted to get your reaction.
I'm not worried about it. You talking about regular season?
Yeah, the most recent Orlando game.
We're talking about playoffs, man. Unless you want to talk about something else, somewhere else. Playoffs right now.
I just wanted them to call it a ridiculous report.
I like the way Ben answered that.
Why?
Because I'm a player.
All right, we'll dissect that in a few. You're listening to 97.5, The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task. But after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Welcome back, everybody, for Zeta and Trey in the morning. Is Pat Egan going to be able to make it in here and give us his takeaway of the day?
I don't want him in here.
He's in for Sam Wilson.
Yeah, well, is there somewhere he can do it far away from here?
He better have a takeaway of the day. That's all I got to say.
Tell him to text it to me and I'll read it for him. I don't want his sick ass in here.
That's mean, Bob.
I'm just being truthful, Mark.
By the way, in all honesty, the pizza situation here, I'm getting a lot of stuff for my plain pizza take.
People on you about it?
A little bit. Because people love plain pizza, and I just think that those people are simpletons, basically.
Well, you Italians and your food are really, really weird.
That's got nothing to do with being Italian.
Yeah, it does.
It's had nothing to do with being Italian. I
brought in some meatballs. You want one?
Why you got to go there?
Oh, nice. Why you got to go there?
You don't eat anybody
else's...
You've
never had a Swedish meatball, either.
No.
Yeah, I'm just saying.
I won't even eat, like, my closest friend's mother's meatballs, but I'm going to go to IKEA.
Why?
Because it's not my family's meatballs.
You got to go to
IKEA. Are they going to come and purge you or something if you eat somebody else's meatball?
I think the rumor goes if you bite into somebody else's family's meatballs, the spirits of your ancestors come out of the meatball and kick your ass. I think that's how the story goes.
Oh, okay, so we're supposed to listen to you when it comes to food. Okay, so I'm sorry, about the pizza, what?
No, if it was an Italian thing, I'd only eat the authentic Italian small, like, pizza, brick oven, and wood fire whatnots like that you get, like, from a Vetri pizza place or something like that.
Okay.
That's the only thing. But I enjoy pepperoni pizza. I enjoy sausage pizza.
I do,
pizza,
too.
Some
and
peppers.
My bad. I should ask if anybody wanted something on the pizza. My bad.
Not your bad. Bad boy of pizza, Bob.
It's funny. The reason you didn't eat it was precisely the reason I didn't get sausage or whatever anything else on was because everybody eats plain. Not everybody eats sausage, but you're exactly the opposite.
I really wanted the sausage and pepperoni. I was looking forward to it.
Yeah, Trey, you were on my side for a second. And you're like, pizza smells good.
Yeah, I was hungry.
All right.
Yeah.
So anyway.
Who bought hot dogs yesterday on the course? I didn't get one. Yeah. Somebody bought hot dogs on the course yesterday, and I see all these wrappers. I'm like, looking around. Nope, nothing. They left me out. I guess that's when I was being slow and they were getting mad at me.
That's rough.
Yeah.
That's rough.
That's when the guy was standing with an aggressive posture waiting on you to hit the ball.
Yeah, he was mad at me.
Oh, my God. I want to be out there on the course with you guys.
Well, we got the Mike Missinelli Open coming up, and the four of us are playing.
There you go. That's a good time.
Yeah, March 16th.
All right, now, Trey, you were getting into this a little bit here.
Uh-huh.
So as a player, when it comes to Ben Simmons' denial of the story, you don't mind a non-denial.
Yeah.
You just, all you care about is, yeah, it's the playoffs. I don't care.
Yeah, let's go. We're moving on to something else.
But doesn't that let the story linger?
It doesn't matter.
Well, apparently booze got to you.
Yeah.
Hold on. Crowd booing got to you.
BOOS got to you.
Thank you. Uh-huh. But you're going to let this story about your character essentially be out there?
I don't worry about it. That's not something that he's worried about. You think Ben's really worried about if everybody thinks that he went out and had a drink and couldn't play in a game that he's going to have off anyway?
Well, he might have had off anyway.
All right, he was going to have that game off. He was already told that he wasn't going to play in that game. He was in the shoot around. I like the way he handled it. It was an aggressive tone. Like, look here, we're only talking about playoffs. If you ain't talking about playoffs, talk about something else. Let's move on.
Okay. The fact that he was at shoot-around that morning, that's his proof right there. That's all he needs behind him.
All right, real quick. Jameson is tweeting me, dude, you either get tomato pie or you get pizza with toppings. And I was like, that is two really opposite ends of the spectrum.
If you don't like baseline cheese pizza, you don't like pizza.
That's untrue. That's an untrue statement.
He had to bring that up at 9:52.
That's an untrue statement, Jamie. Well, where was that when I was calling plain pizza a wasted opportunity? That's what I thought.
It's a baseline pizza.
All right, Twitter poll was, do you like Jamie Lynch? And 100% of people said yes. So that was brought to you by Window Nation. And our takeaways of, what do you got, Bob?
I have Pat Egan's.
You have Pat Egan's takeaway of the day.
Well, he texted me his as well.
Read it together,
I don't know
boys.
If we can read it on air.
All right, takeaways of the day, please, ladies and gentlemen. Pat Egan.
All right, Pat Egan says, my take of the day is if you think you're going to walk onto the internet with some shoddy journalism and made-up sources, then you better watch your back for Bob Cooney. Blank, blank, Bob Cooney. Yeah, way to go, Egan.
That's right.
Jamie Lynch, takeaway of the day.
That's right. My takeaway of the day is don't get on Bob's bad side on the golf course as the bad boy of journalism, South Jersey girls soccer, and golf courses.
That's true.
He'll rip your course up and throw a club at you and curse at you while doing it.
Quite the resume he's building, isn't
he? I know.
Bob Cooney, takeaway of the day.
My takeaway of the day is that Jamie's just an angry young man because I kicked his ass again in golf yesterday.
By four strokes?
Yeah.
Jamie, you got to close the gap, bro. Trey Thomas.
I think I got my swagger back.
That's right, takeaway of the day.
Oh my gosh, spring break starts for me today. I'm getting ready to head on down south, man. So, hey guys, if you get a chance to pop your blue chew in, where's it going?
I hear you.
Very nice. My takeaway of the day, Sixers win tonight. 8 points. I told you from the get-go. Let's have a Sixer party tomorrow morning. Have some fun celebrating a Game 3 victory. Stay tuned for Gargano Martinez Middays here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.